We've a topia on Culture File this time, but it's not certain whether it's a you or a dis. In her debut novel, The Mark, Icelandic poet and short story writer Frida Isberg imagines her homeland convulsed by a new test to measure empathy. In Isberg's maybe satire, maybe speculation, although the test is designed to make sure the right sort of people prosper, it soon creates its own devastating apartheid, laced with fear and suspicion. Frida Isberg talked to Culture File about polarization, Icelandic vocab, and of course, topias.
We have to go through tests in school, and then we have to go through more tests in school, and then we have to be tested for jobs, and then we have to, you know, pass the tests within our jobs, you know, continuously. There are so many rules, and you cannot leave. There is no place to run to. There's no land that hasn't been mapped. There's no cave that you can just claim as, you know, not part of it. When you think about it that way, it can become very claustrophobic. But of course, we flock together because it will enhance, hopefully, our survival. And I've been asked a lot about the difference between dystopia and utopia. You know, utopia is where most people will benefit from this arrangement that we call society. Dystopia is where the majority of people will not benefit. It will become malevolent. In 2018, when I got the idea for the empathy test, I was having very, very fierce arguments with my father, who is my primary parent. And whom I love very dearly, and he has always been kind of my role model in life. But at the age of 14, to my very much horror, I realized that my father was on the completely different political part of life than me. So my father was a conservative, and I was a on the left side of the political spectrum. And so me and my father had been arguing intensely for over a decade about everything that has been polarized in this society. And this was having devastating effects on our relationship. We were meeting maybe 3 times a month, only to argue like a cat and dog for 2 hours straight about everything. So when I started writing in 2018 a novel, that the idea was that I would write a utopia. And the idea came that, you know, that I would write a utopia where the power structure had shifted, so people would choose their leaders based on empathy and kindness and soft-spokenness and not aggression. Because if you remember, in 2018, the world leaders were Trump, Bolsonaro, Boris Johnson, you know, all of these kind of alpha dogs that the world was relying on. So I wrote this utopia for a few months where the leaders were completely empathetic and wonderful. And then I thought, well, how could they prove that they were empathetic? And then the idea of the empathy test came about. But underneath this idea, what was simmering was really polarization. And so I very soon wanted to kind of dive into what I was experiencing personally with my father.
One of the things I was thinking about the novel is the way that the left and right aren't sitting happily in their places anymore. You know, at some point, the things that the people on the left say seem quite authoritarian, and sometimes the right has things that would make life easier for people to live and be less strict.
Exactly. Because if I would have put on one hand a right-sided kind of argument, and then on the other side, some parallel to the left side, then my readers would just dismiss the other side just as quickly as they would in real life. But by switching some arguments here and there and making each side very blurry as to where you're supposed to stand and who you're supposed to be on the right side with, then you are forced to make your own decision, and you're forced into the gray area, and you're forced to see the nuances, and you're forced to listen to the other side, which was really what I was kind of trying to do myself with my father as well. How can we do this with good conscience?
The central paradox is that people have tried to design something to root out people who would do harm to others, and in doing that, have designed something that causes harm to others. I mean, that's the core paradox at the heart of the novel.
Absolutely. But that really came quite late. It was never my intention to see, you know, the empathetic people being unempathetic towards the unempathetic, you know. It just kind of very gradually happened. And I guess what I was kind of most caught up with was what constitutes a herd and what constitutes a society and community. And I think that, you know, I was kind of searching for like how we kind of put the circle around our own herd, and which is just like kind of shared values, you know, what constitutes a society or community is shared values. And when individuals cannot or will not participate in those values, then they are marginalized and ridiculed.
You use Icelandic words that are quite key. So I had a great lesson in Icelandic, even though I only picked up five words. They seem quite important. The first one was samfélag, which you go into the definition. Tell us about samfélag and what it means in the book.
Well, I am a word nerd, so I love etymology and I love kind of deconstructing words and understanding existence through etymology. And samfélag is definitely one of those words where it's quite similar as to the English counterpart community. It's Sam is togetherness, or it's a prefix for everything that's related to together. And then félag is association. So a community is association of togetherness. The word has this kind of idea that you draw a circle around a group of people. Similarly, another kind of fun word is fjölskylda, which is family in Icelandic. And that actually literally means fjöl is many, and then skilta is duty. So it's the duty of the many. So it's the responsibility of the herd.
Frida Isberg there on her debut novel, The Mark, translated from the Icelandic by Larissa Kaiser. And it's out now from Faber.